Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Oakland or Tennessee offers him $30 million, and the Patriots come in at $20 million. You think he comes back to New England?
I do.
Mike.
I do, Steve.
I'm not. Mike. Mike.
I do.
Really?
I think the comfort level, and not, it's not just the number. What if they do it over 2 years, Steve? Let's say, or 3 years. You know, just to say, we don't want to have this discussion again next year.
So Oakland is going to offer him $30 million a year. A year.
Yeah, let's say 2 years.
And the Patriots offer him 20, and you think he's back here in New England.
I do. You think I'm pretty naive, don't you?
I love you to death.
Sunshine. But, sunshine. It's always sunshine here.
All right, that is Mike Reese talking to Steve Burton yesterday. You know, the Tom Brady stuff is just, there's a lot of noise, and no one really knows what's going on. Listen, Mike Reese is as plugged in as ever, anyone. But I'm starting to believe more and more what he's saying. It sounds to me as if he's going to come back, and the Patriots are going to make as good of an effort as they can to try to put some players around him. I mean, whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, whether they get a tight end.
Well, here's the thing.
You can move money around. I have a feeling that ultimately is going to end up what's going
to
happen.
Well, he's going to have to take a lot less. He's
going to have, and he will.
Well, I mean, like $10 million less to get a receiver and an offensive lineman to protect him, because you're going to lose Joe Tooney to free agency. I mean, look, the Patriots only have so much money under the cap. They can only afford to add what? One major offensive piece, and couple with Edelman, and you hope N'Keal Harry can do better than he did this year. I mean,
I'm wondering if one major piece and Chris Hogan would be enough for him to go. I'm fine with that.
I think Hogan's past his expiration.
I understand that, but his name keeps coming up, and Amendola is another one that's out there that I think that he just feels comfortable with.
Everyone's a year older.
I think AJ Green would be a major impact, even though he didn't play last year. I think he could be, you know, someone to look at least.
I just think that this is going to be something that, in the end, he's going to take less. He's going to want to, solidify his legacy. I think that they'll do the best that they can. He's not going to come back if they don't make any moves, but I think they're right now, that's what the Patriots are looking at, is trying to move some money around and make all this happen. He will end up taking less. You heard the reports that came out that the Raiders are willing to give him 2 years, $30 million. There was a report that the Patriots are willing to do the same thing. Whether or not that actually happens, that doesn't seem realistic, but that's the reports.
Are the Patriots better off 3 or 4 years from now if they do all of this?
I think that if you bring Brady back for $20-something million and you put Emmanuel Sanders out there and maybe bring in Danny Amendola and draft some tight ends, hell yeah, I think it's worth doing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's.
Are they better? Yeah. No, they're clearly better in the short term, but are they better off 3 or 4 years
maybe.
From now?
I don't care if they end up winning. Put it this way. Are they good enough to win a Super Bowl next year with that revamped crew?
No guarantees of that.
There's never a guarantee.
No, but I mean.
But look, I think that they're.
Does that make them better than Kansas City or Baltimore?
I think it's in the conversation.
I think if Brady's with the Patriots, they're in the conversation. If he's not, who knows where they are.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the unknown.
And I think that you can't dismiss, just because of what happened last year, Brady's play. There's been so many articles and things that have written by stat nerds that know way more about all of the VIP-4p and all that crap that shows that it wasn't Tom Brady's fault, that it was the people around him. And I think just using the eye test, you could see that as well. Brady isn't the guy that he used to be. We know that.
You add somebody on the offensive line to protect a 43-year-old quarterback, then, yeah, we can start having this conversation. But if you lose Joe Tooney and don't get back anybody of substance, I don't care if you kick Isaiah Wynn inside, then you have a problem at left tackle. I mean, there are problems that need to be dealt with, and you need money to deal with, unless you're telling me you're going to get a plug-and-play starter at 23 in the first round.
Just real quick, there was a report Marcus Cannon was going to retire this weekend. I guess that was false, so that could be another thing. But the odds just came out. FanDuel has these odds. Patriots, the favorite for Tom Brady to return at -400 right now.
Okay, yeah. It's getting bigger too, right? Yeah. Like that, yeah. And I'm starting to believe it as well. And I think everyone's going to be, I don't want to say disappointed, underwhelmed at, I mean, he's going to stay. And then you have to figure out, what do you do now?
Yeah. Like, but the the Raiders are next, then the Chargers, as everyone thought.
What's the Raiders?
+750.
He's never going to go to the Raiders.
The only thing with the Raiders is that they do have pieces in place. Yeah. That's what it all comes down to, right? Just that report from NBC Sports Boston today. If Brady's going to have to take less if they want more weapons. Yeah.
And I think he's going to. Ultimately, I think he's going to. But to your point, John, to your question as to whether or not they're going to be able to.
Everybody on that defense is going to be a year older.
The other thing.
Which was old to begin with.
Okay. But the other thing that you have to consider is they still have the best coach in the game. They still have Bill Belichick. And we've talked about this before. How rare it is in this league to have a good coach. Like somebody you could say, man, that is a great coach. What do we the other day we counted, it was like 5 or 6 that you could say, that's a really good coach. Like that's a great coach. And there's one guy that I used to think was just garbage. He was a guy that I thought was wildly overrated, despite the fact that he had won before. I thought he was wildly overrated. I thought that he was somebody who couldn't control his players until this past year. And that coach is Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, I used to rip on all the time. And Mike Tomlin, over the last 6 months, has done nothing but impress me. And a lot of it has to do with, first of all, Antonio Brown. We saw now what an absolute maniac Antonio Brown is. And for years, he kept that guy contained. He kept it to the point where the worst thing that we thought he had ever done was videotape himself during a team meeting. I mean, look at how stupid that looks now compared to some of the stuff that he's been able to pull. So not only is he a player's coach, but he also does stuff like this. We know at the end of the season, the whole situation with Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett ends up getting suspended indefinitely. And afterwards, Myles Garrett said that the reason that he went so crazy, taking his helmet off and hitting Mason Rudolph, the quarterback then of the Steelers, was because Mason Rudolph had called him the N-word. So Myles Garrett finally got off his suspension and did an interview with ESPN. This is what he said.
He's winding back the throw. I'm going, you know, to hit him in the strike zone. I'm not trying to do anything illegal. I should go to take him down. He says some words as we're going down.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, man, I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me personally, it just shouldn't be said. And whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to, you know, find that appropriate around me for anyone to use. So when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. Once he came back, it kind of, you know, kind of reignited the situation.
Okay, now here's what we do know. We don't know exactly what happened there. None of us do. But we do know that both the NFL and both teams did an investigation, found nothing. At the time, no players said that happened, either on the Browns or the Steelers. Nobody said that happened. And that right there was only said after or while it was determining what his punishment would be. Mike Tomlin, coach of Mason Rudolph, Mike Tomlin never speaks in the offseason. He doesn't do it. So after that interview, Mike Tomlin saw it and apparently called ESPN and said, put me on TV. Put me on TV, and he said this.
The most recent one this past weekend, I took offense to it, to be quite honest with you. When it first transpired during the season, we don't have a lot of time to pause and fight battles of that nature. We said our piece. We were completely cooperative with all parties involved, the Cleveland Brown organization and the National Football League office. And then we had to move on. We had another game awaiting us, and we wanted to be singularly focused. But when these allegations returned this past weekend, I thought it was appropriate that Mason is properly defended. It was a thorough investigation done by us and the National Football League. I don't think that was represented during that piece. These accusations are serious, not only in terms of Mason Rudolph's character, but his professional pursuits. Nobody on that field as a member of the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers corroborated what was said by Myles Garrett. That was founded by us and the National Football League, and at no point during that piece this weekend that was stated. Myself, personally, I was on the field immediately after that altercation and subsequently after the game. I got a lot of personal relationships within that organization over there in Cleveland. At no point did anyone within that organization come forward and say, Mike, heads up, we got a situation here or something of that nature that you would expect that comes with those type of allegations. So I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph.
That's a guy you want to play for.
Sure.
Never speaks during the offseason, saw one of his players getting accused of something like that and said, I got your back, demanded to be put on television and set the record straight. That is awesome. I used to crap all over Mike Tomlin, but he has done nothing but impress me. And even the way that he had that team playing when Ben Roethlisberger went down, that was impressive. He was also,
Rudolph was hurt for a while, had his third string quarterback.
What was his name? Gunner McDuckcaller.
Duck something.
Yeah, it was, right, it was like Duck Call Jones or something crazy like that. But after hearing that, I mean, I've completely done a 180 on this guy. I think that he's somebody that you want to play for despite him, you know, doing stupid stuff like sticking out his foot and tripping players in the middle of games and, you know, obviously other shenanigans like that. He's impressed me. And to be able to keep all of those personalities from imploding the way that he did, he was even asked about Antonio Brown, because Antonio Brown's like now trying to kiss and make up, and, you know, he's like apologizing.
Roethlisberger especially.
Yeah. He's trying to do all that. And they asked, you know, what would you think? And he goes, sure, I would talk to him. I'd reach out to help him, but I don't want to coach him.
Smart man.
That's a great, honest answer.
He knows also the clubhouse. Even if it was a glimmer of a hope of bringing Antonio Brown back, he knows the clubhouse would never let him back in. And given that as the fact in the equation that Mason Rudolph did nothing, what is the defense for Myles Garrett? What happened to him? Did he just snap?
Don't say it's a fact, because we don't know. We just know that nobody said anything like that.
Overwhelming evidence points to Garrett being wrong.
And that's the other thing, too, is I heard, who I like, you know, Dan Orlovsky, believe it or not, as much as he sucked on the field and was on the 0-16 Detroit Lions team, he's been pretty good on TV. I heard him on there saying, if you're Mason Rudolph, you are doing everything you can to prove that you didn't say it and you did all this. And I'm like, he shouldn't have to prove anything. It should be on Myles Garrett to prove it. You want to accuse me of that?
In today's day and age,
I
understand the thought process.
Listen, Myles Garrett, though, coming out and doing this now, this thing was buried. You take your suspension, you come back next year, you get your money, and you move on from this. Why even bring this back up?
Well, because
that's on him.
Okay, so if you believe he's lying, it's because it gives you a rational reason. It makes people think there's a rational reason for you doing something unbelievably irrational. And that's taking off your helmet and hitting someone in the head. That's if you don't believe that he's telling the truth. Telling the truth. He's saying what happened.
Not one other person on that field is.
And no one had even said anything until he said it when he was trying to lessen his punishment.
Yep.
So there is a reason to lie if he did. Once again, we don't know what happened, but you can see there being a reason why doing it one way and not the other. All right. But as I said.
Why doesn't he own that you can't take off a helmet and throw it? Own it. You can't do that.
I think he owns it, but then goes, but, and then hedges it with that. So, all right. 617-779-0985. We got to one more time play Sam Kennedy yesterday stole the show. As bad as Tom Werner and as bad as John Henry were, what Sam Kennedy said yesterday, like, actually was a laugh out loud moment during yesterday's press conference. We'll get to that in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich.
So on one level, when I say I understand how many of you feel about this trade with the Dodgers, I know many of you, particularly our youngest fans, are disbelieving or angry or sad about it. I know it's difficult and disappointing. Some of you no doubt felt the same way in 2004 when we traded Nomar, who, like Mookie, was a hugely popular homegrown player. All of us in the organization hoped that we would never have to go through something like that again, but most clubs face similar dilemmas from time to time.
It's my favorite day of the Red Sox season. When they roll out John Henry and Tom Werner and make them awkwardly ask questions that... Thank you, Tom Werner. I appreciate that. That they obviously have been giving bullet points to hit, and Nomar's name was one on the note card, apparently, because they might have named him four or five times trying to compare him what happened to Mookie Betts. And as I was saying before, Nomar Garciaparra. John, back me up on this. When he when that move was made,
he didn't want to be here.
He didn't want to be here.
Didn't want to be here.
Injured. He was somebody who his defense sucked. It was not very well liked anymore by the fans. He made that awful Sports Illustrated cover with his shirt off that was so ill advised and embarrassing. And then you're trying to compare him to a guy who helped you win a World Series, who is the MVP and is one of the best players in the league.
They actually, and we talked about this with Dan Roach earlier, they named John Lester as another guy who they weren't able to bring back. And boy, again, another gigantic misstep after lowballing him. And he was so insulted, he wouldn't let the Red Sox negotiate with him. Not only during the rest of the season before they ultimately had to trade him, along with Hacksaw Johnny Gomes out to Oakland, but when he became a free agent, he wouldn't talk to them. I mean, he went and signed with the Cubs.
Yeah.
The simplicity in which the Red Sox could escape all of these problems is shocking, and yet somehow they choose not to take that path. He's utterly amazing for a guy who's been wildly successful at business, as John Henry was before he bought this team. Somehow he can't figure out this business.
Right? How can you be such a great owner? Because he's a great owner. I mean, this team, there's no one can question that. For being such a great owner,
four championships.
How can he be so bad at answering basic questions? And in a situation like this, and they talked all the time about it wasn't to save money, it wasn't to do all this, and I thought that Sean McAdam and Dan Shaughnessy did a masterful job yesterday holding them to their feet to the fire. And I still think it's hysterical, people. And as I said, you can hate Dan Shaughnessy, but you can't tell me he hasn't been merciless against these guys over the past couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, there was a moment yesterday where John Henry didn't even want to answer. It sounded like he turned it over to Tom Werner. This is Dan Shaughnessy asking about the haul they got back.
I think it's hard for them to get their heads around, you know, Mookie Betts and David Price for three guys they've never heard of, one of whom has a stress fracture in his back. I mean, do you understand fans being questioning and irate about that?
Yes.
What should we tell them to do?
I said my piece. I don't know.
I think that we, you know, obviously this is young talent who we have a lot of optimism for. My understanding is that hopefully he'll be playing very shortly after this. Alex will be playing very shortly after the season starts. But we've acquired talent that will be under club control for, I think, 17 years. And I think that we have to wait and see whether or not the evaluations of Haim and our baseball people are accurate. But I've talked to a lot of people outside this organization who are very enthusiastic about the talent that we've received.
Who? Okay, nice. Second of all, Dan makes a good point. What does that even mean, the 17 years thing?
Does it mean
like
he
adding
got,
up the years
I
that they...
No, I think he meant to say seven with all the arbitration years and time served put in, but he said 17 instead. That's what I think.
I thought he added up all the years, but...
No, 17, you're not under control for 17 years in
that's
the organization.
That's a massive oversight.
That's not true.
B, why does he think mentioning that would get anybody excited?
And they got no pitch. They really got no pitching out of it, really. Either were they get a catcher, an outfielder?
You got a guy who projects to be a backup catcher who's in Double A. Jeter Downs is apparently their second baseman of the future, and Verdugo has a stress fracture in his back. Yeah. You have no idea how good he's going to be.
No young players with control for pitchers besides Erod, who they went to arbitration with.
And I agree. And Rich, we keep going back to this. This is yet another press conference where they needed Larry Lucchino badly. They needed an a-hole to step out. And Werner attempted to be that guy, but he was woefully inadequate at it.
Yeah. It was funny, however, watching Larry Lucchino just completely cut off those guys. And you know why he did it now. Because these guys shouldn't speak.
Now, you need Larry badly, especially now.
Not that they shouldn't speak. It's fun when they speak. And I actually like
right,
when they speak.
For the organization point, you need an a-hole like Larry to step in front of everyone and take every bullet in the chest.
But then yesterday we got an unexpected brand new star. Somebody who said, you know what, everything you said, just step aside. Time to do a little dance. Sam Kennedy, take it away.
Yeah, we've taken a very consistent approach to over the last 4 or 5 years of a very modest ticket price increase. And I'm actually glad you brought it up because I mentioned publicly the other day that we are pacing behind in ticket sales. There's been a big focus on affordability. And there's actually a misconception still in the market that tickets aren't available, that every single game at Fenway Park is sold out. That's not the case. There are tickets available for our games in April and May, for Tier 5 games in terms of our pricing schedule. 60% of those tickets are priced at under $40. We have tickets for students, college kids, high school kids, middle school kids for every single game at $9. So come to Fenway Park for $9. You may get standing room tickets. You may get field box seats, loge box seats. We have affordable family options, $99 for a family of four, which includes four tickets, includes food and beverage. We understand the commitment that our fan makes, and every single dollar that our fans invest into tickets, food, beverage at Fenway Park goes back into our baseball operation.
Oh,
that's important that our fans understand that connection. I know they do. But there are affordable tickets for Red Sox games this season, and we want to make sure that we get that message out there.
I mean, step right up, everybody! All sorts of tickets. We got $9 tickets, we got $10 tickets, we got $48 tickets. Hey, it's promotional Chaim Bloom's face on a flag day. Wave Chaim Bloom's face around and say, go management. You like Wally the Green Monster? We'll let you abduct him for a week. Keep him in your basement. Throw food at him. It don't matter. He's not real. He's a figment of your torture imagination. Like the movie Saw, do what you want with Wally. Only $14 a day. Step right up. Step right up. Who wants the old Red Sox elixir? By the way, hang on. One thing about all that, and I'm just now thinking about this for the first time. So he's justifying raising their ticket prices moderately and then in the same breath saying how they can't sell tickets.
Yeah.
He also said every dollar that they get goes into Fenway Park or goes into the organization. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Then you just couldn't pay Mookie Betts?
Yep.
How much are beers? How much is a beer in Fenway?
$14.75. Does sound right.
Every dollar goes into the team.
Most expensive beer in the league.
Dan just told me that yesterday was the first day that they allowed fans down at JetBlue Park. What percentage are they down, Dan?
32% from last year.
Step right up.
Wow, number of fans that showed up. School vacation week. You're right, Joe. Just over 1,000 people showed up yesterday.
That's embarrassing. For this organization, that's embarrassing. Man,
these places used to be sold out.
It's Gerald Saltalamacchia jockstrap night. Only $17. You get a ticket in one of our fantastic seats on the roof, and you know what? Get a jockstrap with Gerald Saltalamacchia's face right on the nuts. Manny Del Carmen. You like Manny Del Carmen?
From Hyde Park. My boy.
It's Manny Del Carmen chest hair day. He'll let you personally shave off some of his chest hair and put it in a nice collector Wally the Green Monster cube you can wear around your neck. Hey, whose chest hair is that? It's Manny Del Carmen's. Only $19. Step right up.
How about Lenny DiNardo? Anything for him?
No. If he's going to do that, there has to be a Rich Garza stuff.
Lenny DiNardo.
There has to be El Guapo night.
Lenny Del Nardo fecal float night. We'll let you scoop it right out of the tub.
Oh, man.
Rich Garza's?
Yes, Rich Garza's.
Let's hear this one.
You love Rich Garza's? We'll let you breastfeed off Rich Garza's. $62.
That's the winner.
Bring the whole family.
I'm in. That's the winner.
You like the milk of Garza's? Come on up here. We'll do two at a time. He's got plenty to go around.
The milk of Garza's?
Garza's milk. You can breastfeed off Rich Garza's. $19 an inning.
Oh.
He don't care if he's all chafed and red. It don't matter. He's got more milk to give than you could ever imagine. Step right up. Right. Sam Kennedy here. I got the cure for what ails you.
How about Jim Rice? Anything for Jim Rice?
Jim Rice, Metamucil spit. Metamucil spittle. We just wipe up the stuff that's left on the Nesson broadcast booth, and we bag it on up for you.
What about Yaz?
Oh,
Yaz.
Be careful.
I'm not messing with Yaz.
Be careful with that one.
I'm not messing with Yaz.
Smart man.
Dry hump the pesky pole.
There it is.
For the whole fourth inning. You love poles, you love dry humping. Dry hump the pesky pole at $28.17.
Oh, man.
That's right. Step right up. Sam Kennedy shuffling and giving you the elixir that you need. Oh, man, I need a Photoshop. Somebody put that straw hat on him and a cane. Oh, man, I can't believe they did that. They just stopped the press conference to just shill for tickets.
I can't remember
the
last
time. Oh, that was awesome.
I can't remember as a Red Sox fan the last time I felt about this team like this. Maybe after the Bobby Valentine year in 2012. I think it's been at least 7 years since I've been this bad.
Unbelievable.
The Butch Hobson years are pretty.
Yeah, but how far back are we going here? I mean, that's 90, not early, 92 when Rick Burleson was a third base coach?
Phil Plantier.
Oh, my God.
So it's that I'll be all in for Manny LaCarmen just here today.
Well, so would Joe if it makes you feel any better.
That's a promotion we can get behind. All right. Joe Murray's headlines. Here we go.
95, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich, and the stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. WindowNation.com. Okay, this is I just got to turn this over to Dan in the other room because I don't know the full story. I've been keeping an eye on it all morning long, and I don't quite know all of the details. But from the little I gleam of it, this is starting to remind me of somebody. Tell me a little bit about these two Lamborghinis. By the way, Lamborghini SUVs that were stolen this morning.
Sure, that have been in production for less than 2 years.
Okay, I didn't even know Lamborghini made an SUV.
Yeah, exactly. If you Google image a Lamborghini, it's Urus, U-R-U-S.
Okay.
Urus. It's impressive, but it stands out. It's not something that's just going to, you know, blend in with the rest of the traffic. So if you're taking this, it's a $200,000 vehicle.
So, okay, so there's a dealership, and where was this, in Malden?
Wayland.
Wayland.
We are in the beautiful town of Wayland. Herb Chambers Lamborghini.
I know what it is.
So the thing I keep seeing on the news, and you were the one who pointed this out, is that somebody broke into the window of the dealership and obviously knew where the keys was. But if you take a look at how the window is broken, it almost looks like a Bugs Bunny cartoon in that it's the shape of a guy jumping through a window.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It's like there's the arms
open. But what I think happened, Rich, is that where the head would be is where the rock or the boulder that they threw.
Okay.
So maybe that's how the... But so they got in real quick. Knew apparently from the details from the police department, from the Wayland police, they knew where the keys to the two vehicles were. The vehicles were in the lot. They weren't actually inside the dealership, so they're out on the lot. Somebody knew exactly where the keys were to these cars and stole two of them, a white one and a black one.
Okay, so Joe Murray, you worked with cars for a while.
I was in the automotive business for years. This is an inside job. It's President's Day weekend. The biggest car shopping weekend of the year. So yesterday was the final day of sales. So just like in the town when you want to rob the cathedral, which is Fenway Park of a Yankees Red Sox game.
Yeah.
Let's rob some Lamborghinis at the biggest car chain in all of New England. And just, we know where the keys are. This is an inside job all over it.
Okay. So the best thing about all this is that, so these guys steal, I thought, and maybe, you know, consider me crazy, but I thought that the keys would be on a little more of a lockdown than that. I thought that they would put them in like a box where you had to have two people.
I used to have a fingerprint system, yeah.
Like Joe said, President's Day, the end of the day, maybe, perhaps it was, you know, so busy and so kind of crazy that this was the one time that it didn't get put
into the safe. A demo car or something with the key out.
Weren't thinking they were going to stick around long. You're right, Joe. Maybe they weren't going to be on the lot long. They were going to be given back. But however, Rich, so they apparently arrived in a vehicle. So the two Lambos and a third vehicle are going away from, but the alarm goes off right away. So they're not in there very long in order to get the keys and come back out.
Yeah.
So the police are alerted. The Wayland police stopped a non-Lamborghini vehicle And then, you know, the two Lamborghinis took off. Apparently, they're following each other because at the end of the story, that's kind of how it turns out. They don't go in different directions.
That's okay. Really smart.
The police stop the non-Lamborghini vehicle and apprehend somebody and take that person to the police station.
Okay.
This is all going on, like, after 3 a.m. this morning. So it's early, early, early morning.
And meanwhile, those other two Lamborghinis are being chased. And what happened to them?
I don't know if it's so much of a chase because they may have gotten away, but they're traveling in a pack.
But didn't they smash into each other?
That's the thing. So in the beautiful town of Malden,
okay,
you know who lives in Malden?
Yeah, I think, isn't it these guys?
Billy Lanny does too, right? These guys, yeah.
These
guys.
You guys have a pattern? Yeah.
Louis, what is that? I'm like, I don't know.
No, obviously. Three lanes of traffic they had to get across.
Sure, obviously.
No, we're not.
We're not saying that it's them. But I mean, it just, this sounds so horribly conceived that
the end result, Rich, is that the first Lamborghini crashed, rear-ended a parked vehicle. And immediately the second Lamborghini rear-ended the first Lamborghini.
And I'm immediately thinking,
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
I mean, definitely the caper of the year. Just kind of the first thing it made me, well, the first thing I thought of.
One tailgates the other so close that he can't stop when the other one hits something.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
Oh, man, those banner guys were the best.
My thought is they were trying to go to the casino to valet them or something. pull up in a Lambo.
Yeah.
Well, the casino. I mean,
we did the right thing. We could have kept it. We could have put it on eBay. You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources and got it.
You know, we know that my buddy works at the new casino that just opened.
Yeah,
we're talking. Yeah. So,
I mean, what would they expect? People were going to pay money to see a banner that wasn't going to be used at the new casino? Oh, God, those guys were the best.
My buddy, who's a janitor, could put it up underneath the storage room.
Oh, those dudes were just awesome. By the way,
still breaking news this morning.
Still breaking news. All right. Well, I mean, you're going to find these guys, and they're going to be an interview that's just worth listening to. So apparently, Kyrie Irving over the weekend was voted the players rep for the NBA. Is that right?
No. Vice president of the Players Association,
okay,
I believe, which looks great on a resume, but what does he really have to do?
Well, I don't know, but all I know is that whenever Kyrie Irving does anything, the first person whose reaction I want to hear is Kendrick Perkins. Here's what he had to say about it.
Kendrick Perkins in, and we're going to talk about a vice president election that you don't like. Kyrie Irving voted in to the Players Association as its vice president. Why don't you like this?
Well, I don't like it for the simple fact that, to me, is the blind leading the blind. Kyrie has proven to all of us that he's not a leader. And I don't understand this for the life of me. Maybe he surprised the world and become this better person overnight, but when he was with the Celtics, he wasn't a good leader. And now he's in Brooklyn. We had several occasions where he didn't threw guys under the bus or whatever the case may be, saying that he don't need certain guys or he want this guy back. And it's just, I don't see those leadership skills in Kyrie. So hopefully he proves me wrong, because the Players Association has been moving forward in a great way. So hopefully he don't ruin
it. I love Kendrick Perkins.
Lockout.
What's that?
Lockout's coming.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. This guy's running it.
We're getting a lockout. Have you seen the commercial for the new Kevin Garnett documentary that's coming out on Showtime? Yeah. I mean, it looks fantastic. And here's why. So Kevin Garnett, I obviously loved as a player. You know, he's probably everything you wanted in a player as far as like his attitude and his work ethic and stuff like that. But there are times where I think he is playing it up, like in interviews. When the clip that I saw in the Showtime documentary, it's going to be the other way, he's just basically just sitting in front of a camera and talking, it seemed like he was being 100% himself. And he seemed unguarded and was talking about, you know, being a high school player. And the very first time that he was invited to play, I think it was Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I might actually have it right here. Let me take a listen.
What is it, 25 years?
This comes full circle. When the All-Star game is in Chicago this year. When I got to the game, I had all this Chicago swag, all this confidence that I had built up from playing in the city that I carried with me. Let's go down to the Hilton where they got the really nice gym. We get in there, Mike Jordan in there. Scottie Pippen was in there. I'm like, we watched him play a couple games, and all of a sudden, security, doom, doom, doom. Hey, you, come here. And I was like, me? It's like, yeah, big fella. And I was like, yo, throw my shoes. I jump in, I tie my joints up, and then Jordan was like, let's go. So we go. I just remember Pippen saying that I was too young to be out here. Call for it. Mike threw it, boom, and I launched my boom. I don't know what you think this is. And I hear somebody go, I see you, Lord, okay, I see you. and there was Isaiah Thomas. I saw you play Scottie Pippen. Boy, you can play in the league right now. And when he said that, dog, the world stopped. I said, Zeke, what you say? He said, boy, do you know you can go to the league from high school? I said, nah. Then we got a workout. And coming to workout, I heard Pat Riley like, come on, what the f*** is this? Got me watching a high school guy. You don't know why you here? I was catching him off dunk. Boom. Boom. I dunked this thing maybe 7-8 times. Then I'm like, motherfucker, you mean? Why you in here? Nice workout, young fella. Nice work.
So, I mean, that's gonna be good. Did you guys, any of you guys, watch the All-Star Game this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone's saying it was fantastic. You know why I didn't watch it? Because it was the NBA All-Star Game. And now that everyone's saying it was great, I kind of wish I saw that fourth quarter because they changed the rules and I guess it worked.
It really did.
If they could figure out a way to make the NBA All-Star Game exciting at the end, that in itself is such a massive upset. You had Teddy Bruschi tweeting out, you know, hey, Adam Silver, can you fix the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of thing.
He's right.
It was really fun to watch at the end. You had Kyle Lowry take an offensive charge on James Harden at the end. I mean, it's just stuff you don't see.
Yeah.
And how many foul shots were there in the last? Well, I don't even know if you call it.
It was one on a foul shot, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. which maybe they can change that. Hey, you can't
hold
win
on
a foul shot.
No, but I mean, if Anthony Davis misses that second free throw, Team Giannis can go down the floor and win the game. I mean, there was actual suspense.
They cared, and that's why I think what mattered. Okay. You know? And listen, I think the best athletes in the world were playing, and the refs were involved. They went to coaches' challenges. Like, it all happened in that last quarter there. I thought it was outstanding.
Pro Bowl can't be fixed just because of the violence of the sport.
They can't.
You can't. There's nothing you can do.
Unless you just make it a flag football game.
Even that. Like, who wants to see that?
The NHL has done a good job.
The NHL has done a good job with the three-on-three. I think baseball's All-Star Game sucks.
It's probably the best right now, though.
See, I hate it. The NHL one's good when I remember it's on.
I've always liked the baseball one.
I know you have, because you're a baseball nerd.
Maybe so, but I've always liked. I agree with Joe. It's always been the one that's the best out of the four.
That's right.
Well, remember it used to count for something? Home field.
Step right up. We're getting some good ones. Someone said, spend a night with Eck at the Golden Banana. Only $14.99.
DBs.
It's dealing Sam Kennedy here. Who wants some value? What do you need? I got the elixir that ails you. Somebody said, hey, look, it's Green Monster Wall Glory Hole Night. $28, you can spend the whole fourth inning attached to the wall. You never know which ex... No. Red Sox All-Stars on the other side.
Oh, man, that's not right. That's not right at all. That's nasty.
Step right up. It's Dealing Sam Kennedy.
Oh, man.
We'll take your money. We'll do whatever it takes. Oh, that was the best. All right, 617-779.
What was that last promotion again?
Well,
What was that last one?
It was Green Monster Wall Glory Hole Night.
Okay, good. Let me make sure.
Step right up. It's Dealing Sam Kennedy here. What do you need?
That last one's a winner.
I might listen to that Sam Kennedy clip on my own at home today. Jesus.
How do you look at yourself in the mirror after that?
That was so great. And you know that they like high-fived each other after. Remember to plug the tickets.
Nailed it.
All right, we'll do the crossover right after this.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.